through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, guys, we've been doing our NFL free agent profiles. It started a couple weeks ago looking at pending free agents from the Seattle Seahawks. Then we were looking at free agents who would be available by the start of free agency. Now that the first week of free agency has come and gone, we're going to take a look at some of the guys that are still available because the Seahawks, like many other teams, still have some holes. So yesterday we started that by looking at a few edge rushers. Today, that list continues, looking at some free agent wide receivers.
This is Jake and Stacy's off-season profile. A look at the key free agents, potential draft picks, and extension candidates for the Hawks championship run.
Let's go!
Free agent profile.
Now, Jake, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names available here as free agent wide receivers that are, as of right now, in this moment, still available. I'm going to assume these are to different levels of availability. For instance, I know at least one of these receivers recently had a trip with the Baltimore Ravens. Another one might be out of their price point, but let's go ahead and start right from the top. You got T.Y. Hilton listed here first.
Okay, let's start with T.Y. Hilton. This wish list, as someone asked yesterday, we were talking about defensive line, and someone texted in the Vince Yard Seltzer text line. They were like, wait, Jake's a quarterback, and all he's doing is talking about defensive pass rushers? Well, yeah, I mean, I appreciate defensive pass rushers because I know what impact they can have on the game, but we were focused on pass rush yesterday. Today, we are looking at the receiver position and that third receiver spot that remains open on the roster. There's a couple different philosophies that you can have with that position. You either bring in competition to add the competition to what's already there with the young players that you like in Freddie Swain, John Ursua, Penny Hart, right? And you see who rises to the top. Or you bring in a veteran that you know exactly what you're going to get out of them. A guy that the moment you sign him is planned to be your, you know, starting third receiver. Or you bring in a guy that you need to take a flyer on, right? Give him an opportunity, the Philip Dorsett of this year. So let me give you a couple guys that I think would truly upgrade the offense and guys that I think would come in and be your third guy right away. Number one, as you mentioned, T.Y. Hilton. Now, T.Y. Hilton is not the same guy as everyone remembered him in his prime. He is not that major deep threat down the field. But he is a player that still can be extremely productive. Now, coming off the 2020 season, he had 56 receptions, 762 yards, 5 touchdowns. Now, the interesting part about that, Stacy, was that if you go back and you look through his 2020 season, it was very, very up and down. And he started to really produce at a high level for a series of games in the second half of the season. So I'm not sure why the beginning of the year, it wasn't really coming together for T.Y., but in the second half of the season, he really started to produce, which gives me a lot of confidence that there's still a lot left. There's still a lot there to be had for T.Y. Hilton, and you're not asking him to come in and be the big play guy. Mm-hmm. You're asking him to come in and be the chain mover, and I think at this stage of his career, he can do that very, very well and complement what you have on offense between DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Gerald Everett. You add T.Y. Hilton to the offense, man, that's pretty exciting. Now, T.Y. Hilton also is 5'10", 183 pounds, but is very skilled as a pass catcher. So he's not one of those guys that's going to be another complement big-bodied receiver out on the edge and let Tyler Lockett work the middle of the field. He's going to be that guy that's going to work the middle of the field himself, and him and Tyler Lockett can be interchangeable. I view those two very much as kind of the same player. Just Tyler Lockett at this stage of his career is healthier and is a better deep threat than T.Y. Hilton at this stage, but a very good pickup. The next guy on the list is really the lone player out on the market that I still think brings a game-changing impact type of level of play.
Now I'm going to have a question.
But he is the most highly... controversial is just the starting point when it comes to this name, and that is Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown still has that big-time impact level of ability on a game, and I think that he would make this offense very, very dynamic and unique. You can use him in a variety of different ways in the screen game, fly sweeps, you know, deep down the field, fits this, the vertical passing game extremely well. But obviously there's a lot of baggage there with Antonio Brown. And, you know, you've got to make a big decision as an organization. And Russell Wilson as a quarterback, do you want to take that on? Last year, they were willing to kind of go down that road, walk down that road. And so I don't think they're shying away from it. But do they think there's a better option out there in terms of the fit? Maybe. Maybe T.Y. Hilton's a better fit of what they're looking for than Antonio Brown. But if they're going out and making an impact move, Antonio Brown could be that player potentially. And the unique part is only in 8 games he had almost 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, 45 receptions. And it didn't come in the way that he used to, but they also had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin already on the field. So they found a way to keep him active, keep him involved. And I think that Shane Waldron would do a good job in trying to move Antonio Brown around enough where he would stay involved in the game, but he would not be a featured piece. He would not be taking receptions away from Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. I think that would be very clear.
Yeah, those receptions are kind of available now, too, with David Moore gone. He was literally the number 3 receiver. I know that there's a big gap between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett with 1,000-yard seasons, and then David Moore with 460-something. But he's still in there at number 3. I think with Antonio Brown, though, when I saw this name pop up, I thought, I'm kind of assuming he maybe stays with Tampa Bay or something, because there's a report from Michael Silver that both Seattle, and we knew Seattle was reportedly pursuing him because we covered it at the time, that both Seattle and Tampa Bay were pursuing him and that he chose to go with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. I guess I'm just wondering, like, well, why would he choose Russell Wilson in Seattle this time?
Yeah, that report is overstated. Was the Seahawks interested? Yes. But Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, they took all the red tape off. They were more aggressive than the Seahawks were in making that offer. So it wasn't a straight-up decision. It wasn't Tampa and the Seahawks. It was both of them are interested in me. Tampa Bay's the first one to offer me the contract, and that's the one I'm going to take. I'm not going to wait around and play this game. That's just not what happened. So what Silver's reporting wasn't necessarily exactly how it went down. Tampa Bay, they offered him right away. He took it. Boom, there you go. So that is a good question, because if Tampa Bay offers him a contract again, he might go back. He might go back and say, hey, I was comfortable. I know what to expect. I'm with Tom Brady. It worked out for me, and we've got a chance to go get another ring. The other side of it, too, is maybe he feels like he could get more of a role here in Seattle than what he did with Tampa Bay in terms of, you know, getting the football and getting an opportunity to be more involved in the offense, because Chris Godwin and Mike Evans pretty much took a lot of the deep stuff down the field away from Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's what he's ultimately thinking or that's what he's going to do. I'm just trying to think through maybe why he would choose Seattle this time around instead of Tampa Bay. But I think that there is pause for both organizations in terms of what they want to do and what they want to do with AB exactly. But that's why I think that it's on the table. It will be a topic of conversation. It will be something they think about. Now, do they act on it? That's another question. Now, let me give you 3 other names,
Stacey. I was going to say, you got T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, and then 3 more guys here.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, those 2 guys, I think if you sign those guys, that would be a splash move. That would be an impact move. That would be a move that everybody around the league looks at and goes, oh, man, okay. All right, these guys aren't playing around in terms of, you know, how they're approaching this 2021 season. Now, there's 3 names on this list that I qualify as bring in for competition and see what happens. There's Adam Humphries, who just came from the Tennessee Titans. He's been a slot receiver. He's a dynamic guy. He didn't live up to the hype or the billing of the last contract he signed with Tennessee. Really dynamic player in Tampa, signed a big contract in with the Tennessee Titans, and then had some injury problems in Tennessee. When he was on the field, good productive player, can be a third down chain mover, and I think could be a reliable target when on the field. D.D. Westbrook, he is a guy from the Jacksonville Jaguars, this young, high first-round pick out of Oklahoma, talented guy, he's 27 years old, was pretty productive with them, you know, for two seasons in 2018, 2019. This last year, he's coming off a knee injury, which pretty much took all the production out from him this past year, which gives me definite pause for concern. But if you think that he's healthy and the market isn't being kind to him, you could maybe bring him in on a relatively small price point and let him compete and not have it hurt your roster too much. And I think he would be worth taking a flyer on. So Adam Humphries, Dede Westbrook, and then the guy that's getting a lot of attention right now in free agency is Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins is obviously a big name that everybody knows. His production with Kansas City wasn't stellar, but in terms of a role as a receiver three, man, this would be a pretty good option in my opinion. 6'1", 211 pounds. You're not asking him to be, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver, but to play his role, I think he could do it pretty well here. So Sammy Watkins, Adam Humphries, Dede Westbrook, those three guys I would qualify as guys that would have to compete their way onto the roster. Antonio Brown and T.Y. Hilton would be guys that I would bring in knowing that they are going to be my guy from day one.
Now, I don't want Antonio Brown here. That's like a character. He has done things in the past, and I'm not alone here in saying, like, yeah, I'm not especially comfortable rooting for that guy. Sammy Watkins, very intriguing. I think a large part of that is because he comes from the Chiefs' offense. But he has very recently, this is from Ian Rappaport, visited with the Baltimore Ravens. I think everyone's kind of expecting that signing to happen. He might have also visited with the Colts. Likewise, T.Y. Hilton, swapping with Watkins, reportedly visited with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, T.Y. Hilton, I think, is the one that intrigues me most or that I would be most excited to see here. But again, Sammy Watkins kind of catching my eye being from Kansas City's offense. Which of these five receivers specifically do you think could fit what you imagine Seattle's offense will look like under new coordinator Shane Waldron?
I mean, the guys that I think that would do it best, I believe it would be Antonio Brown and T.Y. Hilton. So, you know, T.Y. Hilton is a guy that I think would make a lot of sense with his production, his style of play, reminds me a lot of Tyler Lockett and just makes the offense diverse. And T.Y. Hilton is beloved in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about a guy that's going to come in and he's going to bring no waves, no problem, no real headache. T.Y. Hilton's going to be that guy.
Well, and they had Jonathan Taylor take off in the second half of the season. So when you were saying his numbers dipped a little, I was like, increased. I was like, I wonder if they just didn't have a great run game. Mm-hmm. And then Jonathan Taylor takes off and finally they're able to be more dynamic.
Right. Yeah. And it very much could be that way. Right. So I'm curious to see what that's like. But when I see Sammy Watkins getting courted the way that he is, he's the next receiver that's going to get paid more than what the Seahawks are willing to give.
Mm.
That's just the straight up honest truth.
Why are you being honest?
I see the Seahawks not really going out and spending a ton of money on that third receiver position. The guy, if I had my ultimate wish list, the guy that got poached in free agency earlier than I was hoping for.
Oh, I already know.
Was Emmanuel Sanders.
I thought you were going to say Josh Reynolds.
Nope, not Josh Reynolds. Emmanuel Sanders, if he would have came here in Seattle, I would have been over the moon. Like, I would have freaked out. You know, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Emmanuel Sanders. I thought that would have been an incredible, incredible signing. But obviously, he's getting paid more than what Seattle is willing to do at this point in time. So it leads me to believe that you go down that route, you see if T.Y. Hilton's still around. Antonio Brown is going to be a very easy contract. Nobody's going to be offering Antonio Brown big-time money. That's why he's on this list.
Yeah.
If he was offered mid- to higher-tier money because of his name and what he did this last season, I think, you know, he wouldn't even be a topic of conversation. But the price point that he'll be at is going to be – it wouldn't be much whatsoever. So – it definitely has to be something that's on your mind. And someone on the Vizzy Hart Tilter text line, you know, texted me, what about Golden Tate? I think Golden Tate, in everybody's mind, you're holding on to the past instead of what Golden Tate has been the past couple years in New York, especially age 32, going to be 33, you know, 35 receptions, 388 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was hurt a little bit last year. He's just not that same player that everybody's holding in their mind. And I don't think the reunion is going to happen here in Seattle, but I gave you five names that I think would be intriguing. And also, when we get to the draft profiles, that could be a place that they go and attack because it's a deep receiver class. You could definitely make a potential impact signing in the second, third round of the NFL draft if that was what they indeed decided to do.
All right. Thank you, Jake. That was the NFL free agent wish list. Jake lists five receivers to keep an eye on that are still right now available: T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, Adam Humphries, Sammy Watkins, D.D. Westbrook. If you missed any of that breakdown, you can check it out on the Jake and Stacey podcast, wherever you download your podcast, or 710sports.com. Those previews will almost always kick off hour three of the show. All right, it is 1:15. Let's jump into some NFL headlines. Curtis, I have good news for you in your ongoing one-sided feud with running back Mike Davis. Now, there were some rumors he might return to Seattle. Seattle, before re-signing Chris Carson, was going to be in dire need of running back help. But no, he has signed a two-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons.
Look at him running away from Seattle.
Okay,
running
Curtis.
Away
All right.
from his battles.
Sure.
What a
sure.
coward. Go to Atlanta. No one wants you
he
here.
He knew he had to come and face you again and just couldn't do it.
Exactly.
He couldn't do it.
Before I jump to my next story, I forgot that Taylor Jacobs is, I didn't know this, but he was the one that unlocked your Twitter account.
Yes.
Taylor Jacobs saved the day.
He did. I mean,
shout
like,
out to Taylor Jacobs, Seattle Sports Saturday.
It would have taken me days, and who knows how many people the hackers would have reached out to through my DMs, and how many people would have ended up clicking that link just because they were just as curious as me, wanting to...
About your shoe line?
Yes. Like... Gosh, these are going to be bad.
I'm shocked that
I just the curiosity just I can't hold myself back just based off the curiosity alone.
I feel like your shoe line would have a New Balance vibe. I don't
wow.
mean that. I mean the 90s are back. So I mean that in a nice way.
Well, Stacey, you say that, but then people are looking at you going like, is the 90s back?
Okay, wow. Like, that's all right. Moving on to the next
story here. I'm just saying, like, I'm not.
Jameis Winston.
I would, if I ever put one together, it would not be a New Balance type of flair.
Dad shoe.
Okay, all right. I would not do that.
I feel like you'd have dad shoe. Just if, Jake.
Okay, maybe,
you spent,
maybe they would be extremely comfortable.
Jake,
I mean.
You spent 5 minutes yesterday telling us that you welcome people into your home by telling them about all the renovations you've made to the home and pointing things out, and that Brooke is starting to get concerned.
I know. I am worrying myself. A texter did say, okay, you're telling everybody about your renovations. You are getting hacked. At what point are you going to start paying people overseas when they start calling you?
It's a matter
you?
Of time.
About emergencies. Like, I'm starting
I'm
to get scared.
I'm shocked it hasn't happened.
I'm really starting to get scared.
Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill will enter into training camp fighting to take over as the Saints' new starting quarterback in the era that begins without Drew Brees. First time in a long time, Sean Payton seems to be leaning toward Jameis Winston as the starter. That despite Taysom Hill's recent contract, which is a lot of fake money with voidable years. Jameis Winston told Jeff Nowak of NOLA.com, quote, "It's a tremendous amount of responsibility following behind a guy like Drew Brees, but I embrace that. I would love to carry that torch." My question for both you guys, can Jameis Winston find a new wind to his career in this era with the Saints, or is he their bridge quarterback to finding their next guy?
I never wish anybody ill will. But Jameis Winston's one of those guys that I just have a hard time getting behind. There's a lot of history in his past, and then, I don't know, the whole eating a W thing, like, he completely lost me at that point.
Mm.
Like, that motivational speech and looking at DeSean Jackson's reaction in the circle just kills me every time, and I can't get that out of my memory. But, yeah, I mean, he could potentially have a resurgence in his career. He's only 26 years old, Stacey, and... This is a guy that's always physically been able to do it at the NFL level, but the problem is his decision-making has been extremely poor. I mean, turnover-prone, to say the least. And so if he can cut down on the turnovers and show that he can be a productive player, yeah, he's going to give himself an opportunity to have a resurgence and a chance to make some more money in this league. But I think that's going to be a big question, and I think that Sean Payton's got his work cut out for him, without question.
A former Seattle Seahawk just became available in free agency. The Denver Broncos have cut tight end Nick Vinette in order to save $2.6 million against the cap.
How about it, Curtis?
Would you guys want to see Vinette back here? It would presumably be less than that $2.6 million.
I think we're good.
No?
Yeah.
You're going to... I mean, okay.
Look,
I love
Nick Vinette. Vinette was a great teammate. I love the guy. I've got no hard feelings towards him whatsoever. But... in terms of where we're at, I think we're in a better position
All right.
here at the tight end group. Colby Parkinson, Will Dissly, Gerald Everett. I don't think we need to be going and adding Nick Vanette to the mix here.
Yeah, I think a couple years ago, didn't Nick Vanette's girlfriend get into some messy drama with, like, LeBron James?
What? No
yeah,
way.
She had thrown some accusations out there on her Instagram
yes.
story.
No.
Yes,
yeah.
she did. Yes.
I don't remember
that. You don't want that kind of person hanging around. Although, whether they're true or not.
Hey, guys, by the way, mm-hmm. I subbed in for Brock Heward this morning on Danny Gallant during the Blue 42 segment.
Yeah.
And apparently, Luke Wilson was getting texts from people in town listening to our show tattletaling on us.
What'd you say?
About Rob Staten coming on and calling them wankers.
Wait.
So Luke was tattling
Hold
on
up.
Us?
Yes.
To Danny and Gallant?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Danny confronted me about it this morning, and you know
wow.
what? You know what I did? You know what I did?
Tell him I can't say it on radio and I'm censoring myself?
No, I said it.
To his face?
Yeah, I did.
I'd say you're a wanker, Luke.
Danny, Paul, you are a pair of wankers.
Yeah, throw Luke Wilson in there, too. He's a wanker, too. Tell him I said that to his face.
Okay. All right, geez, Stacey, calm down.
But also come on the show, Luke Wilson.
Good Canadian insults. Luke Wilson is someone who, in my first year reporting...
Well, in Canada, you call him a hoser.
Oh,
that's,
yeah?
Yeah, that's what you call him.
I feel like that's a bad word.
It's not.
A hoser?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a hoser.
There you go. Say it with your chest.
Poser.
Well, apparently we got some tattletales that are going to go report us to,
yeah,
to Luke.
They're called snitches.
They
is
are.
What they're called.
Yes, they are.
Luke Wilson, I asked him my first year covering. I was trying to be funny, and I was like, oh, when you're in Canada, is it weird to drive on the other side of the road? And he said, we don't drive on the other side of the road. And then I did the Homer Simpson, like, go into the bushes and fade away because I tried to make a joke that didn't land. That was the worst.
Oh,
Stacey, moving on.
You tried. You...
I really did. I tried to be funny. It did not work. I got a couple other headlines I didn't get to, and one of them leans into what's going to be a weakness on this roster. And so I want us to address specifically how the Seahawks can solve that. We're going to take a look at the cornerback situation. Packers are going to re-sign Kevin King, so we'll talk about potentially some of Seattle's options there. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Man, as everyone knows, we only have one enemy of the show. Many friends of the show, one enemy of the show. Who is, Jake? Troy Aikman, correct?
Only, I mean,
I know you don't like saying his name.
Depending on the day,
spot.
Yeah.
I right. Mean, but Troy Aikman, only enemy of the show.
I don't know why you forced me to say that.
I'm sorry. Considering adding Luke Wilson to that list now that I know that he snitched on us.
No, you can't add Luke.
I don't want. I thought we were all friends.
He is not an enemy of the show.
I thought we were all friends. We used to have a great time interviewing him during the huddle. Always a great guest. Wyman loves him. And then here I find out he's tattling on us to Danny and Paul, stoking the embers of our feud with the morning show.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
I guess.
You know, for me, I'm not really shy of it because come with the policy, if I say something, I would say it to their face, right?
That's true, I suppose.
I mean, I know sports radio can get out of hand, and you got a lot of people throwing out a lot of accusations or going a step too far with certain things, but that's always been my policy. So when Danny and Paul Gallant confront us about it, I said it right to him.
I'll take him to Sports Court.
It. Yeah, we could.
I'll take him to Sports Court right now. Two things. One, we're going to do What I Need to Know coming up next. So you guys don't have to wait until the break to send in your questions. I'm going to start collecting them now. You can send in any question you have, any single question to 710-710. That's the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We just say, what I need to know is, and then you fill in the blank with the question that you need to know. So I'm going to start collecting those. Send those in, 710-710, Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Next thing I need to tell you guys is we're going to be starting a contest here on 710 ESPN Seattle very, very soon. And it is very, very exciting. I think this is maybe the coolest contest we've ever had. Certainly, this is top three contest. Curtis has been here longer. I would say top three, top two contest easily.
Yeah, I think there was one prize. It was season tickets to Seahawks, like probably 5 or 6 years ago. That's a pretty dang good prize. But this one up
This one's
on the level of that.
This one's on the level because it's got a sentimental value to it that will be special for sports fans, particularly sports fans who have had kind of a hard time if you use sports as just kind of a way to feel yourself or reconnect with friends. The last year has been hard. It's been hard for every single person, but we're welcoming everyone back to the ballpark, back to live sporting events with limited capacity at T-Mobile Park. And the contest is going to allow you not just to get tickets so you can go to the game, but to have a chance to welcome everyone else into the stadium, literally opening the gates of T-Mobile Park.
I mean,
that's awesome.
If that's not cool, I don't know what cool is. Like, that is such a big moment that, I mean, I would be trying to push somebody out of the way just so that I could be that guy.
Well, see, we don't want to encourage trampling.
Okay, well... I'm just saying it's a big deal. So, like I said before, Schmake Schmeeps might be calling in for this this contest,
right.
Whenever it
this
happens.
Guy's, his name is Schmake Schmeeps?
Yeah, it's a weird name.
Same phone number as Jake, same address. So what?
I don't understand.
I don't think you should look into it that much. You guys are putting too much logic behind it, but somebody of that name might call and might try to get in on this competition because that would be the coolest thing ever.
Sure. Well, it is a really, really cool competition. So again, stay tuned to 710 ESPN Seattle. That competition going to be starting very soon.
Starts tomorrow, actually.
Oh, I can say that.
At 7:30 a.m.
The competition's going to start very soon, and by that I mean literally tomorrow at 7:30 a.m.
Yes.
And you're going to be listening all day long. We're going to have multiple chances to enter, and that's going to be happening during every show. So if you don't wake up at 7:30 in the morning because it's an ungodly hour, then I understand, and you're going to have some other chances throughout the course of the day to tune in. So it starts Wednesday, tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. It's going to be your chance to quite literally open the gates to T-Mobile and also catch the very first Mariners game of the season. Really cool opportunity. Now, what I didn't get to in NFL headlines is that the Packers have re-signed Kevin King to a one-year, $6 million deal. That from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. Kevin King had been a name that had been kind of rumored potentially to Seattle, obviously.
Not by me.
Okay.
Not by me.
I do wonder what the Seahawks are going to do with their corner situation. Quentin Dunbar remains out there. We had Joe Fan of NBC Sports Northwest on, and he was like, if I were the Seahawks, I'd re-sign Quentin Dunbar. I'd bring him back. I am kind of concerned about what happens if he walks, and I know that seems silly to people, but that cornerback position, I know you have Akella Witherspoon, starting to look a little shaky.
It is shaky, but I think with Akella Witherspoon, when you talk about value, I think they found a pretty good value signing there with Akella Witherspoon, and the only reason why it's shaky is because of the unpredictability of Akella Witherspoon's career. Now, he had a very good season this last year. You're getting him coming off of his best season, and can he keep that level of play? I think that's going to be the biggest question moving forward for the Seahawks. And if you do, you got a legitimate starting, very good caliber corner on the other side to complement DJ Reed and what he brings to the table. But overall, you still got some good guys out there on the market, and Quentin Dunbar makes a ton of sense to still add to that competition. You bring him in with high incentives. And I think that you've got guys out there like Richard Sherman, Casey Hayward Jr. You've got players out there that are veteran players that I think will come in at a relatively easier price point at some point in time that can still have an impact in this league. And so as we continue to go down this road, Malcolm Butler is another name that stands out to me. But as we go down this road, I think we'll continue to see where that market is going to be right now for this group of corners. And also, we will find out, I think, over the next month, what is going to be the priority for the Seahawks in terms of the positions that they're going to legitimately address come draft time. They've got a limited amount of draft picks, Stacey, and they've got to be very on point with where they're going to go and what direction they're going to go in. So I believe that at some point you'll see a third receiver being signed, or you're going to see a corner being signed, and that will allow us to be able to see what positions are actually going to be the priority heading into draft time. So I'll be very curious to see what that ends up being. But overall, I think that you're not going to find a perfect replacement for Shaquille Griffin, and I think that the cornerback position is the area that they're going to try and find more value at than go out and make a splash signing with.
All right, what I need to know right around the corner. Here's how it works. You text 710-710, that's the Busy Heart Seltzer text line, and you text that number any question you have about anything. It doesn't have to be about sports, though we will answer sports questions too, obviously. Send those questions in right now. What I need to know right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
It's what I need to know. Send those questions in. 710-710, Busy Heart Seltzer text line. Man, I love this texter for asking. From the 425, Jake, you mentioned earlier that you had been hacked by someone who was posing as Jared Kelnick, got you to click on a link. You clicked on the link. That person was verified, by the way, because Jared Kelnick was
hacked. Hold on. It was Jared Kelnick's account.
Jared Kelnick's account was hacked.
Okay.
Jared
Kelnick. It's an important piece of this.
The hacker posing as Jared Kelnick through his real account then DM'd people to get them to click on a link. Jake clicked on it, and he was hacked. And then the same thing happened where that person took over Jake's account, sent out a ton of DMs to verified sports people to try to take out their account. So this person says, I need to know who is the most embarrassing person to have received your shoe DM. By the way, the DM that was...
There is a lot.
The DM that was sent out was trying to get people to purchase items or check out a shoe or clothing line that Jake was starting. Yes. Hacker Jake was starting, which I love. That's my favorite part about it.
Yeah, probably the two most embarrassing is Jamal Adams and Matt Hasselbeck, who got a DM from me about this.
I liked Blitz the Seahawk.
Blitz the Seahawk's a good one.
Oh, it's so good.
Although Blitz was fired up about it. He was excited about
a
special project that I was involved in. I did get a former teammate of mine, a special DM, and someone I haven't talked to in a long time. But Harvey Unga, who we're probably going to end up talking on the phone, catching up here in a little bit. So, I mean, I guess that's one positive.
Hey, it helped you reconnect.
Yeah,
I think that's you know what,
that's good
in a way. The hacker was the friends we made
along the way.
Along the way. Yeah. It was the hacker inside of us that just needed to remind us of the friends we've always had.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What I need to know, make an enchiladas tonight. Do you guys support Taco Tuesday? Yes.
Who wouldn't?
What, are we monsters is what that question is asking.
I support tacos 7 days a week.
Taco Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Need to be Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for it. I don't know who would be against it.
You know what I'm for is this question from the 425. Draft picks for, backtracking. The text line comes in weird. Please answer. I haven't heard anyone bring it up. Why are teams getting fined and stripped draft picks for bad COVID protocol, but the Hawks aren't getting rewarded for having no positive tests?
Yeah.
Great.
They should be rewarded
point.
With a second or third rounder. I love the second rounder. They should get a second rounder.
Absolutely should be advocating for this, for being the gold standard of the NFL for handling COVID. If I'm Pete Carroll and I'm always competing, I'm looking at the NFL and saying, hey, those draft picks you just stripped from those teams, bring them our way. We deserve it. We earned our gold star. Give it to us, Roger Goodell. Do it.
360 wants to know, did Colin Cowherd get a DM?
Oh, did he?
No, because Colin Cowherd and I are not super close.
Oh, wow.
Not tight.
I mean,
that's your words.
I'm just telling you, even if the hacker wanted to get into Colin Cowherd's DMs from me, it wouldn't be a possibility.
How about this one from the 360? What I need to know. It's my birthday this weekend. Happy birthday. And we just moved into a house we built. There's still things to do to the house, but I really want to do something fun. What would you suggest? Fishing, hiking, hanging with the kids? I also need to clean my truck, something fierce. What's a fun thing to do with the kids with when you maybe don't have your house set up totally all the way yet?
Okay.
I'm a big fan of games.
Yeah, you got to make it a competition to see who can clean up the quickest.
Get your kids in on it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's do a fun game where you paint walls.
Exactly.
Who can paint
the best? That's how I get
Jackson.
All right,
let me show you guys how to use this nail gun.
Without fail, it's time to pick up. He doesn't want to pick it up. I turn it into a competition. It is done. It is game over every time. He's going to pick up on it eventually, I think.
I have two taco or enchilada related questions. I'm going to ask both of them to you guys. for two separate numbers, which I love. This is how you know the listeners to Jake and Stacey are real. They are legit. From the 206, hard shell or soft shell taco. And from the 425, the real enchilada question is red sauce or green sauce. The answer is soft taco and
soft taco and red sauce. I'm going with that Verde sauce all day, every day.
Let's see. Someone said, was Russell Wilson on the list of DMs?
No.
Okay.
No, he was not.
Oh, that would have been funny.
I was surprised. I mean, these guys were going big. They were going after literally every blue check mark
person. They reached out to a reporter that we had on a while ago.
They did.
Didn't make any sense.
Oh, my gosh. It's so embarrassing.
Now the questions are all taco related, which I love, but I'm going to filter through and get some other ones. Someone says, what's on your hat, Jake? It's a red hat. It says, love. Something.
I got this free from a golf tournament. It's a Travis Matthew.
Oh, okay.
Hat. Yeah.
Who talks better trash? This is a great question. Stacey or Philip Rivers?
Philip Rivers. Yeah, it's not even close.
Takes Stacey about four or five tries to really land that punch.
It's funny when Stacey initially tries to go for it.
It takes you four tries to land the punch.
And then you'll leave the room. You'll leave the room and she's still working on it.
Yeah.
You come back, like you said, five, maybe 10 minutes later, and then she's finally got it.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I have a good joke. If you give me a couple minutes.
You can't have a couple minutes.
Why?
You got to just say it right off. That's what good trash talking is all about. The best trash talker I've ever been around. It's a competition.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Richard Sherman, fantastic.
You have to pick one.
But the other one is Bobby Wagner. And I would choose Bobby Wagner because B-Wags never goes too far. Okay. That's key. He never goes too far. He never steps over the line, but he will always leave people speechless. Like, there's nothing you can come back with.
I wish you could. Could you tell us something?
No, I can't.
Okay.
But, like, it's so unbelievable. It's so good. He is extremely good at it.
We were telling you guys earlier, and I know you heard it on Danny and Gallant, about the guy that found two shrimp tails in his box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, contacted Cinnamon Toast.
This story.
I can't stop thinking about it. Contacted Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and they were like, that looks like sugar. And he was like, guys, it's shrimp tails. And it's gone viral because people were like, these are clearly shrimp tails. Someone said, from the 360, would you guys quit eating cereal if you knew one in every 100 boxes had at least one shrimp tail in it? At least one shrimp tail, possibly numerous. Okay.
No.
What?
I would move on from cereal.
Yeah.
One in every 100 boxes. That means
disgusting.
99 boxes don't have shrimp.
That's disgusting.
But it does mean that one does.
You can find them and then you move on to the next box.
Nah. Okay. I'm not wasting my money like that. I'm not a high roller like you are, apparently.
So we asked who is a better trash talker, Stacey or Philip Rivers. We all said Philip Rivers. The 360 says, who needs more attention, Stacey or Philip Rivers?
Stacey.
Okay. Have you watched the Drive to Survive Netflix series? I have been meaning to. Have
it
you guys
looks
heard
good.
About this?
It's like Formula One, right?
Oh, yeah. That looks juicy. That's right up your guys' alley.
Also,
isn't it more like reality? I thought it was a documentary at first, and then when I clicked on it seemed like it was more
it's
reality
like
TV.
It's of Formula One,
yeah.
Basically.
It's not going to be like reality TV drama, but it is actual people.
Have you guys been keeping up on the new season of Last Chance U?
No, but I did appreciate your tweet. Happy Last Chance U Day for all who
observe. It's so good.
Someone said, who will be the starting left fielder on opening day? You have to guess right now. Who is going to be the starting left fielder on opening day? We only have a couple more days of actually guessing before we know.
Jared Kelman.
No, you're not. You're lying. That's not going to happen.
And his clothing line is about to take off. Jared Kelnick is the starter.
Curtis, what do you think? And then I have the top text on the text line right now. I'm going to read you next.
I'm going Kelnick. I'm going Jared Kelnick.
No way!
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to now go devil. I want to choose something. I'm going to go Taylor Trammell.
Okay.
For funsies.
The fact that Curtis agreed with me,
Jake Frazee.
It's like just like gave me goosebumps.
I hate that. Okay,
I thought he was gonna be like, Jake, you're an idiot.
Someone said, are you excited for Survivor season 41?
Yes.
And then also now we all definitely need to watch Drive to Survive. Let's all plan to do that. We need to hear more F1 talk on here, says the 360. Can we all plan to watch Drive to Survive, just one episode today? Everyone listening and
there's
all
no
of us.
NCAA tournament.
No March Madness, no anything. One day of Drive to Survive. One episode.
I don't know if I can promise.
I got some episodes of great food truck.
I'm going to do it. I saw that
there was a new episode of The Masked Singer.
Oh my God. If anyone else wants to watch, I am going to watch. And guess what? I'm going to try to come up with some themed question for three questions for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Here we go. All right. That'll do it for us today. He's Jake Heaps, Curtis Rogers. I'm Stacey Ross. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob is next on 710 ESPN Seattle.